Come on, help me welcome the campuses that are joining with us today. Most of you know we're a multi-site church. We're glad you're there today. Whatever campus you're at, thanks for coming and being a part of today, whether you're here in Tennessee or in Illinois, we welcome you today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and it's my opportunity each week to get to share with you what God is speaking to us corporately as a church. We're glad you're there. We're praying you find a home there, the place that God has for you as an individual. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for every blessing and benefit that you've given us. We're grateful for your Holy Spirit, and we invite you right now to prepare us. Lord, I pray for you today to give us understanding and wisdom. Let both of those be in operation in every person's life today who hears what the Word of God says. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Hey, listen, we began a couple of weeks ago talking to you on the subject of our mandate, our mission. And today I'm going to talk about our method. The first week we talked about changing lives to change our world. That is our mandate, that the Lord has told us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, that we can't ever stop growing, we can't ever stop believing for more growth, et cetera, et cetera. Last week we talked about our mission, that each church has a distinctive call, that just as there were 12 tribes that made up the nation of Israel, that there are churches and each one of those has a distinct call upon them. Today I want to talk about our method. Again, if you have a distinctive call, then what is it that you are supposed to do? Now, how many of you are like me? How many of you grew up going to church? Would you hold your hand up? I mean, you know, that's a lot of us. Wow, I don't know about campuses, but a lot of us here at North Campus, the hands went up. So we went to church, we grew up going to church. Let me ask you another question. I may not want to be as honest. Have you ever wondered why? Come on, half a dozen of you are brave, all right? Have you ever gone to church and left and went, what was that about? What was going on there? Now again, I'm a preacher's kid. I'm a missionary's kid. I've probably slept on more pews than a lot of y'all have sat on. I know church backwards and forwards and sideways. So at 25 years of age, Sherry and I took our first church, and I'd been in ministry for 3.5 years before that, but we went to Adamsville and took a church, and that was back in the day. How many of you remember when you used to go to church all week long? Come on, anybody? I mean, you had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then you had Monday night prayer, and then women did something on Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night. Anybody else? And then Thursday, if he's real spiritual, you prayed again. And Friday, you had youth service. And Saturday, you prayed because you needed to pray because you're ready to kill somebody after going to church that many times, right? And so as I begin to work through this as, a young 25-year-old pastor, I begin to say, you know what? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're just doing the same thing. We show up, we sing a little bit, we preach a little bit, we go home. Is there something that we ought to be doing? And so it took years. I mean, it didn't happen overnight, but through the process of time, we began to make some shifts in Adamsville, and we began to say, okay, Sunday morning is, that's for guests. Sunday morning's all about reaching people, touching people, seeing their lives change. Wednesday night's all about training. It's about teaching. It's about discipleship. And then Sunday night was kind of one of those, you know, services. And again, remember, some of us came from some Pentecostal kind of backgrounds. And so that Sunday night service was hot. In fact, let me just tell you a secret. Adamsville campus is watching. They know this. But I would tell people, do not bring your friends on Sunday night. Right? And people say, well, why do you do that? Well, there's biblical reasons for this. And in fact, if you read the Old Testament, you find that that's what is known as the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, there are three distinct parts. There's the outer court, which is the place of sacrifice and washing. It's a type of repentance and baptism. Right? And in fact, in Herod's temple in the New Testament, it's called the court of the Gentiles. In other words, anybody can go into the place of repentance and baptism. Anybody can go into the court of the Gentiles. Then there was the holy place, which was where the priests went daily. They got into it. They got down involved in it. They were in there where the altar of incense was, which symbolizes prayer. There was the bread that was kept only for the priest. And there was this the lampstand that was in it, and all of these had symbols of the Holy Spirit, etc. And then there was the Holy of Holies that only one man went into one time a year. And so what I taught in Adamsville for years was that Sunday morning was that outer court experience. It was that place where we come together to see God save people and their lives to be transformed. Wednesday night was that discipleship night. It was that night where we went after and got deep into things of the Word of God. But Sunday night was that Holy of Holies. It was, if you could borrow my term here, Katie bar the door. It was like, come on, let's see what God's going to do. Somebody said, well, Pastor, that's all Old Testament. I said, well, good, I need New Testament theology. So I said, what happened in the New Testament? Watch what happened in the New Testament. Jesus taught the multitude in stories, in parables. He said, the sower went forth to sow, and said he sowed, and the seed fell, some on the wayside, some on thorny ground, some on stony ground. And he said, but some fell on good ground. And he tells this story, and everybody's enthralled with the story, and they leave, and they go aside. And now it's the 12, and the 12 come to him, and they said, Lord, we're not so sure what that story means. Could you bring us a little bit tighter here? And he said, well, understand this, that the seed is the Word of God, and the sower is the one who goes forth and proclaims God's word. But he didn't stop there. That's 12. He's gone now from multitudes to 12. But then the Bible says a little bit later that he takes Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. That even Jesus himself had a method that involves some different ways of doing ministry. Now, in the culture that I grew up in, we wanted every service to be alike. Okay, can I just talk for a minute? Can we just share? Just pretend it's me and you and nobody else. All right? I grew up in church, and the church that I grew up in was a wonderful background. I love it. I'm glad I grew up in it. But I never knew when it was safe to bring anybody to church. Anybody understand what pastor means? Because I didn't know. We could go 4 weeks in a row and just have Sunday morning service and everything would be all right, but then there'd be that fifth week. And that fifth week would be the week I would decide to bring somebody to church. Well, that would be the time. Now remember, that was in the day where you had the sacred desk, right? You had a pulpit. It was about as big as the stage. And the song, you didn't have a worship team. You had a song leader, correct? Anybody grew up there? And you had hymnals. Come on, am I the only one? You had hymnals, and they would say, turn to page 133, and we're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4. I don't know what they had against that second verse. We never got to sing the second verse. We were always skipping the second verse. I want one day to sing. We're going to have a hymnal one day, guys, and we're going to sing the second verse. Not really, but anyway. And we would sing. But I knew, see, we didn't sing all those songs, by the way, in the song, but we only sang about 20 of them. And so you kind of knew them by number. You knew that 138 was Amazing Grace, right? Page 192 was I'll Fly Away. You were safe on Amazing Grace. So if they said 133, you went, I'm good. We're good. My friend's good. It's going to be all right. But if they said 193, you knew you're going to have some splaining to do. Because we had the church my dad pastored in Savannah, Tennessee. We had a little lady, a little shotgun church, seated probably 150 people at the most, and a little lady sat on the second row. She was a wonderful, godly woman, but if you sang, I'll Fly Away, she would fly away. Not really, but she would get her handkerchief, and she'd get out in the middle aisle, and she would walk up and down the middle aisle just like this. Woo! Woo! Now, I understood, woo, but the friend I brought thought we were having a fire drill like we did here at North Campus a while ago. I mean, it was like, I don't understand this. And so through the years, we said, wait a minute, there's got to be, the Bible says this, it says that we are to be wise as serpents, but to be harmless as doves, that the Scripture and the Word of God and the things of God need to be presented in such a way that it leads people further and further in their walk with God. And so today I'm going to give you three words. The words themselves are not new, but they're going to be used in a new way for us. We over the past several months have been saying, okay, we need to re-engage some things. We need to recalibrate some things. And as we did, we began to look at some things, and we said, here's what we want to do. We want to take people to three words, and the three words are this. The three words are encourage. The second word is engage, and the third word is encounter. And I'll explain those as we go along. Here's what we want to say is that Sunday morning is about encourage. Sunday morning is about encouraging people. That's what it is about. Whether or not you come in this morning and you don't know anything about church or Jesus or whatever, we want you to be encouraged. Or maybe you've been living for God for years and years and years. We still want you to leave this place saying, I'm encouraged, I feel better. Now, for those of you who are more biblically literate and you don't like the word encourage, I'll give you the Bible word. The Bible word is edify, to be built up, to be strengthened, to be encouraged. And so that's what Sunday morning is all about. In fact, we talk about that Sunday morning is a bridge service for people. Now, let me explain what I mean by a bridge service. Think about in the natural what a bridge provides. The first thing that a bridge provides is that it provides security. You're not having to worry about things, you know, you're able to go over. It provides safety. All right, that bridge or that Sunday morning service should be a place where you feel comfortable in coming to, but not only do you feel comfortable in coming to, you also feel comfortable in bringing anybody else that you want to bring with you, because it is a safe environment for them to hear the Word of God. I told you a couple of weeks ago that if you will just invest in people's lives and invite them into the house of God, I'll do the heavy lifting for you. I'll talk to them about Jesus, and we'll get their lives changed if you'll just invest your life in them and invite them into the house of God. So a bridge brings security. It brings safety. It gives direction. This is how you go. That's what Sunday morning is about, is to say, this is how you go. This is the direction you go in. And it also brings connection. It is getting you from one side to the next thing. It is providing a connection for you. Maybe that's connection with people. Maybe that's a connection with you and God. Or maybe it's a connection with you moving into the next thing that God has for your life. You say, well, Pastor, how do we go about doing this? How do we as a church encourage people? Well, first of all, let me just give you some things. First of all, as a church, we need people who cultivate acceptance. That's what Sunday morning is about. I stood this morning at North Campus with one of our deacons, and people were coming in, and they were coming, and I said, do you realize the differences of the people that are walking through these doors? I mean, you got rich people, you got poor people, you got white people, you got black people, you got educated people, you've got uneducated, you've got a plethora of everything. And you know what? That's what the kingdom of God ought to be about. It ought to be about coming in to a place where you are accepted. And that's what greeters are about. That's what ushers are about. That's what kids teachers are about, is to encourage you, to accept you, and to say, we are glad that you are here. We are thrilled. I've said this, I'm going to say it one more time today, and that is, hey, listen, we don't have to have somebody open those doors. Most of you are smart enough, you can get in. On top of that, we're smart enough, we can buy electric doors, and we got enough money to pay for them, and they'll just open automatically. It's not about the opening of the door. It's about somebody who's standing there saying, we are glad that you are here today. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. And we are so happy that you're part of this day. It's a place of acceptance. That's how people are encouraged. Secondly, it's a place of encouragement through our praise, through our worship, through our singing together. I know singing together is kind of weird, and it's not the norm. I mean, how many other places you go except for the seventh inning stretch that you all sing together? You don't sing together. I mean, you did a ball game one time. Every once in a while, they'll have you join in with a national anthem, but that's pretty much it. But you come to church, we all sing together. What's that about? That's about coming into a place where I feel built up. I feel encouraged. Those songs that we sing are telling us how much Jesus loves us and how much he cares about what we're going through and how much that we can be assured that he is there with us. And that's what we do on Sunday morning. And thirdly, through the preaching of the Word of God that declares to you that God is involved in your life. That's what it's about. That's what Sunday morning is. It's a place of encouragement. And the goal of encourage, the goal of this service is life change. It is life change. It is about your life being changed. And that doesn't matter where you are. Let me just say this to you. We are all on a journey. Every one of us. Some of you today are just starting your journey with Jesus, and some of you have been walking with him for years. But here's what I want to say to you. Every time you come on Sunday morning, you ought to leave with some life change inside of you. There ought to be something that you say, you know what? I didn't know Jesus when I got there, but man, he just sounded so good. I felt some things there. I just wanted to know him. I just wanted to get acquainted with him. Or maybe I've known him for years and years, but I left today knowing that I need to change some things in my life. Anybody still got some stuff you need to change? I mean, I got some stuff. And that's why I'm glad. I love to preach some of these sermons because I preach to myself more than I preach to you. Because I know that when I come in the house of God, God's going to change me. See, Sunday morning is again, it's that outer court. It's that multitudes. It's all about salvation. It's all about making a commitment to the next thing that God's calling you to in your life. It's about baptism, what we call made new. And it's about getting connected with a group of people or get into a connect group where that you can begin to find out what it means to walk out this relationship with the Lord. That's what Sunday is. It's about encourage. But then there's another word. That second word is the word engage. So what's engage about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's what we want you to engage with. We want you to engage with your purpose. See, here's what I believe. I believe God has created all of us with a purpose. Rick Warren wrote a book how many years ago now? I don't even know. I'll make it up. 10 years ago, however long it was. It's been a while. And it was on how to find your purpose. Now, here's a pastor who writes a book on purpose that stays as the number one Times New York bestseller list for over 2 years. Now, that just does not happen. All right? It wasn't a religious article. It wasn't on the religious page. It was the number one book in America and even around the world at one time because he was talking about purpose. Here's what I know. Every one of us want to find our purpose. You know why you want to find your purpose? Let me tell you. Your purpose tells you that you're significant. When I know what my purpose is, I feel significant about what I'm doing. See, that's what a church ought to be doing. Well, watch this. A church ought to be accepting everybody and helping them find significance. We ought to be a place that encourages, but then we ought to be a place that helps people find their purpose. Well, Pastor, you said Sunday morning is encourage. Yeah, when does engage happen? Engage happens in the next step classes. Those next steps classes, those four classes that we do at every campus. At North Campus, we do them every month, every week. Other campuses, it's done on different engagement time. But those classes help you, first of all, to discover your purpose. Why am I here? Well, why did God create me? Why did God put me on this earth? The Word of God lets us know that you were born in His image and that you were shaped by Him. He worked in your life and that He created you in His image and in His likeness, you have been created. So every one of you, if I just look at your neighbor and say, you've got a magnificent purpose. Come on, tell them. Come on. No. I'm waiting. Okay? You at the campuses do. You got a magnificent purpose. Every one of us has a wonderful purpose. Not only do we want you to find your purpose, and not only does Next Steps classes help you find your purpose, it also helps you to determine your potential. How do I go? See, listen, you won't believe this, but I'm going to tell it anyway because it really is true. You can ask my wife and people who know me. I'm an introvert by nature. Now, that's funny to some of you, isn't it? What is an introvert doing on the stage? I don't know. Take that up with God. All right. But my I can tell you, when I go on a trip, I don't want to talk to people. Y'all all right? I mean, I don't care to have any more friends. I got three. That's enough. No, come on. Any other introverts? You don't have to raise any other introverts because you wouldn't raise your hand anyway, would you? No, I'm kidding. I that's the way I'm wired. But I found out that my potential was greater than how I was wired. All right? And so we want to help you. You may be an extrovert, you may be an introvert, you may be a high type A or whatever, but we want to help you find your potential, and then we want to help you find your place. See, I believe everybody has a place in the kingdom of God. And the way that we help you find that place is through that next steps process that then takes you into where you can begin to perform ministry. See, the goal of next steps is to get you in ministry. Amen. I wanted you to be excited about that. Listen, here's what the scripture says. The book of Ephesians says, God set into the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints so that saints would do works of ministry. You were called to do works of ministry. You were saved. You saved? Come on. Are you saved? Then you were saved to do works of ministry. Well, how do I get involved in that? Well, at our campuses, you can get on an iServe team and begin to serve in whatever area that you're gifted at. You can get involved in a Connect group and begin that way of finding out what your purpose is, living that out. You can get involved in missions. That's not just foreign missions when we go on a trip, but that's also things that we do in our community and around. But that you say, you know what? I'm going to get engaged. Now, let me say something to you that's going to shock some of you. Some of you are not ready to get engaged yet. All right? Some of you are at the point that you just need to be encouraged. And we're fine with that. Now, my staff is cringing as I say that because I challenge them every week, get more people in iServe teams. And now Pastor's getting up and saying it's okay for you just to be encouraged. But it is. Here's why I say that. Some of you are hurting today. Some of you are going through life tragedies, and you don't feel like ministering, and you don't feel like giving out. And so we say we're okay with that because there's some people here who are going to minister to you, and they're going to love you, and they're going to care for you. Now, here's what we're also going to say to you. We don't want you to stay there forever. See, the purpose of the hospital is not to stay in the hospital. The purpose of the hospital is to get you healed up so you can go back out and fulfill your purpose. If you're hurting today, if you're wounded today, if you're suffering today, we want to wrap our arms around you and say we love you and we want to encourage you. But what we want to do is we want to get you healed up. Because God's got something he wants you to do and only you can do it. And so we want to get you engaged in your purpose in life. And then thirdly is that encounter word. Now I'm going to take a minute to explain encounter, okay? Because it's easy for us to understand Sunday morning encourage. It may even be easier now that you've seen it, that engage is about getting to that place. You go through the Next Steps classes and you're engaging with your purpose. Encounter is a little different. Encounter is about his presence. See, encourage is about people. We want to encourage you. We want his spirit to touch you. We want you to have times in worship where I talk to the worship team, talk to the staff about, hey, we want a God moment. You understand that? When I say we want a God moment, we mean we want something to happen to you that you walk out and go, I'm not 100% sure what that was, but I think that was God. And that can happen during worship, that can happen during preaching, happen during a prayer, but we want everybody to have a moment where they sense the presence of God. But encounter is beyond that. Encounter is not about us, encounter is about him. Encounter is about his presence, and encounter for us, the basic way that this happens is on Wednesday night. It is those services where we have geared, and it's those services, and as I said, that some of you weren't ready to engage yet. There's probably some of you not ready to encounter yet. All right? Because I will tell you this, if you come on Wednesday night, it's not about you. We're not going to try to be pretty. We're not going to try to make everything flow right. We may start with prayer. We may take two songs and pray again. I may call people to the front for prayer. I may preach in the middle of preaching, stop, pray. We just, whatever God wants to do in that service is what we want. But here's what I want to tell you. It is those kind of services that'll change your life forever. It is those moments in an altar where the presence of God is so powerful that at times, and some of you, and let me just, can I just talk a minute? I just need two of you. All right. Now listen, I want to say this to you. I want you to get this. Some of you who come from a spirit-filled background never come to Wednesday night. Here's my question. What's your problem? Uh-oh. See, I'm being pastoral for a moment. I shouldn't do that on a Sunday morning, but I'm going to. I'm just not into Wednesday night. Well, get into it and get your backside in the house. Y'all can edit that. Anyway, see, you say, why are you saying that? Because it's in those environments. It's in that Wednesday night encounter. We're changing vernacular a little bit because we used to say encounter was the first one and the rest of them were next level. We're changing it. Everything's about encounter. Wednesday night, you're going to hear the word encounter. When we say encounter, we're talking Wednesday night. Now, the first Wednesday will always be communion and prayer and family time together. But it's always about encounter because we want to get in His presence. We want those times of worship to be filled with passion. We want it to go a little longer. We want it to be louder. I know some of you can't believe that. I mean, we want to go after it in those moments of worship. And I don't even care if anybody preaches or not. If His presence comes down and we're encountering His presence, that's what it's about. Because here's what I know. It's in those kind of services where miracles take place. It's in that kind of an environment where you see things that you didn't think could happen begin to happen, where God begins to put back that marriage that could not be put back, and all of a sudden the presence of God shows up in an encounter moment with Him, and God begins to melt both hearts, and they both begin to look at each other again and say, you know what, I think I'm going to stick this out. I'm going to make this happen. You came in sick, but the presence of the Lord touched you, and you left out of this place well. Let me tell you, listen, just a few weeks ago, I don't know, 3 weeks ago now, four maybe, I got a text or an email the next morning from a Wednesday night service saying, Pastor, I got to share with you what happened this past Wednesday night. Said the prayer teams were at the front. You called people to be prayed for. Said my mom was in the hospital, and basically, Pastor, we were preparing for her funeral. They said, I walked up to the front, said it was about 8:15 when the prayer person began to pray for me. And they prayed for my mom who was in the hospital. And they said that God was going to touch her body. God was going to minister to her. They said, Pastor, after that service, we went to the hospital. And my mom, who we thought was dying, was now better. She's gone home. Not only has she gone home, she's putting her garden out. And that one who we thought was going to die encountered something, and they weren't even in the house. Guess what would happen if you got in the house where the presence of God was? If we sent His word and healed them, what would happen? Come on. If you got in the house and encountered His presence. See, in those services, our openness is to His power. We just say, Lord, come. Come and do your thing. Now, let me say this. I get questioned sometimes, and I get criticized, and it's not my first time, so I'm okay with that. People say, well, you know, your Sunday morning service, you just bind the Spirit. Because you got to understand that I have all these gifts, and so I want to use my gifts on Sunday morning. And I just want to tell you, keep your gifts wrapped on Sunday morning. All right? And I want you to hear me, and I want you to miss this. See, the Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit are for the edification or for the building up of everybody. And when those gifts get used in a setting where people don't know what those gifts are about, all it does is freak them out. Now, I probably believe in more gifts than some of you even know are in the Bible. All right? I believe in tongues. I believe interpretation of tongues. I believe in the prophetic gifting. I believe in the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I believe in all of that. But I don't believe, and we don't on Sunday morning do that here. Our tribe, who we are, Sunday morning is about encouragement. You say, well, that's not biblical. Oh, yes, it is. Jesus taught the multitudes in parables. He took the 12 and engaged them. He took the 3 and took them to an encounter. Outer court, encourage, salvation, holy place, engage, learn, holy of holy, encounter his presence. Old Testament, let's talk about the Old Testament for a minute. Children of Israel one day decided they wanted to look inside that Ark of the Covenant. You got to remember, every year the high priest would sprinkle blood on the top of the covenant. It was called the mercy seat. They decided they wanted to look inside. They got nosy. They opened it up. They lifted the top off. And when they lifted the top off, God killed over 50,000 of them in one day. Because they got in his manifest presence without the blood. When you bring people who have not been through the outer court into the manifest presence of God, it will destroy them. That's why there is a process for bringing people into what God has. And so for all of us who are Spirit-filled, and we say, well, I got this gift. I got a scripture for you. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. What that means is that you can control it. I talked to somebody a while back, it's been a few years ago, and they were talking to me on the foyer one day, and they said, Pastor, I was in Kroger the other day, and I just started speaking in tongues, and I said, you're goofy. Just like that. I mean, it was out before I knew what I was saying. I said, you're goofy. Well, Pastor, I couldn't help it. I said, oh, yes, you could. You could help it. Why? Because the Word of God lets us know God doesn't possess you. He doesn't make you. Well, God made me do it. No, he didn't. God operates through you. And it's more important that we reach people in their journey with God than for us to have some liberty. Boy, I just bound some spirits, I can tell. So that we can exercise some gifting that makes us feel some kind of whatever. Lord, help me, I'm going to be good. But I want to say this to you. I've been in enough services that have been interrupted by tongues and interpretation of tongues. Somebody give tongues, and then somebody else interpret it, and the interpretation is something like, my children, I would say unto you, I love you. Now, let me help you. We got that one. If you're going to interrupt the whole service to tell us, only God loves us. We got a whole book tells us that. So, I know I get in trouble with people sometimes when I do this. But I want you to understand. See, every place has a specific purpose. Sunday morning is a place of life change. It's a place of salvation. It's a place of encouraging people. Next Steps is a place of engagement. It's a place that you go further in your walk with God and find out what it is that God has for you to do. But Encounter is all about his kingdom. The goal of Encounter is your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's that time, it's that moment that we say, Lord, we're open to signs and wonders and miracles. Come do your work. If we can understand how this process works. We can lead people on a journey to everything that God has for them. You may not be that far on the journey yet. You may be a Sunday morning encourage person right now. Now, I'm hoping you get to engage and encounter, but I'm okay if Sunday morning is where you're at. We've got to understand that we're all at different places. But I do want to say to us, the radical life change that happens in those encounter moments are unlike anything else that ever happens in your life. And I want to be one of those people who says, God, we're never, ever going to get away from needing your presence. We're always, yes, there's a format, yes, we have a method, yes, we're going to operate in certain ways. But at the end of the day, as I told you last week, we are presence dependent. If he doesn't show up, we're in a mess. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that this works. You say, why do you believe that? Because it's been working for years and years and years. And I believe that it will continue to work as we continue to understand it. Amen.